So let's kick things off with a massive congratulations for your selection to the World Championship squad in June. What were your reactions when you found out the news?
I think I cried a bit. I was really happy. I was with my friends and just sitting in my car. And I got the email and I was really happy.
Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me is my good friend, Dan. And following on from last week's show with Freya Colbert, we are speaking to another new member of the British Swimming Elite.
Yeah, we've got a brilliant guest on for you guys today. You may have heard me talk very highly about her in the past, and I honestly think she deserves it. Her rise onto the British swimming scene has been amazing, and I can't wait to see how she does in future events. I'm excited for us all to get to know her a little better.
Yes, she has had a cracking start to 2022, and we get the feeling it's just going to continue. So please welcome onto the podcast the newest Welsh record holder and the 100-meter backstroke British champion, Mehdi Harris. Mehdi, thank you for coming on. How are things with you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, just back in training.
Yeah, you had a break after British champs, actually, didn't you? What did you get up to?
I just went home and saw family and friends, really.
Yeah.
Nice stuff. So on this week's podcast, we're going to touch upon British champs, obviously your selection for the World Championship team, and then a little bit more about your swimming background, because I know you just said you went home. Home is North Wales. So I'd like to know a little bit more about kind of the swimming scene there, and then transition through from juniors to seniors and obviously the future and this summer as well. So let's kick things off with a massive congratulations for your selection to the World Championship squad in June. What were your reactions when you found out the news?
I think I cried a bit. I was really happy. I was with my friends and just sitting in my car. And I got the email and I was really happy.
Oh, amazing. I mean, we spoke to Freya last week and she doesn't get her emails. It goes to her mum. So it was almost like a delayed sort of like celebration. But for you, it was sent to you. And what was your reaction? You said you cried, but did you sort of celebrate and go running and screaming to friends and family as well, ringing them all?
Yeah, I was phoning all of my family members and they were all really excited as well. Yeah, it was really nice. And I got a message off my coach as well.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
So obviously you won British champs, you're the British champion in the 100 backstroke. It wasn't so much of a surprise to you that you were going to be on this squad?
I think after, especially Bucks and Ireland, after those swims, it was really then when my coach started mentioning worlds to me, because he knows I get quite like nervous and like overwhelmed by stuff. So then it started feeling more real. But also, I didn't know how Kathleen and like Cassie and Lauren would swim, and so I was hoping that I would win, but I wasn't like set on that I was going to win for sure. So they're still great girls that I swim against all the time. So you never know what they could go.
Well, definitely, you've got two Olympians there, haven't you? In Cassie and Kathleen. What was your assessment of your own personal racing in Sheffield then?
Well, it was a bit of backwards for me. I thought my freestyles went really well. And then my backstroke races, I thought they were good, but they weren't what I was really expecting. I was hoping for better, but I couldn't be angry at my swims because I still swam like quite close to my PBs. So.
I think any swim under sub 60 is actually quite strong for 100 backstroke. And you seem to be, well, since Bucks, you've been consistently under that sub 60, the mark. I think it's fantastic what you've been doing. Is there a bit of pressure with that time now that you've done it so early in the season that you've got to try and compete with yourself a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's what happened in champs. I put a lot of pressure on myself. And it didn't really come from other people. Like, my coaches are really good with helping me with not feeling pressured from them. They just let me swim and do my own thing. But I think I felt a bit like I had to perform and I had to achieve something like better. So I think that pressure I put too much on myself and I got way too nervous. So I'm trying to learn not to do that again.
How do the coaches help you with that extra pressure that you feel personally?
We're really open and honest. So when I tell my coach when I'm Adam Baker, when I'm feeling like that, and then he'll speak to me about it, and we'll go through what to actually think about, and there's actually no stress apart from what I put on myself, and just to enjoy it. So.
Yeah. He's got good form with that as well, because Dan Jervis is at Swansea as well, and we've openly spoken to him, and he's openly said that he deals with anxiety. So obviously the setup at Swansea is good for getting the most out of swimmers, even when there are nerves kind of in the water.
I think it helps as well that we all have each other to talk to, because like you said, Dan, like we have three Olympians that are on our team, which is Harriet Jones, Alice and Dan, and they're really good. I like talking to them about certain stuff that I know they've probably been through. So good to go for advice, yeah.
So you got some mentors in the squad?
Yeah.
I'm guessing you haven't had the chance yet to speak to the psychologist at British Swimming, who's Tom Bates.
No.
When you get onto the World Championship squad, once that starts getting rolling, he is the man to talk to. We've had a few conversations with him before, and I think a lot of the guys at the top, so Jimmy, Adam, Duncan. Who else, Dan, Duncan, they all almost credit him with the mental aspect of their swimming, and the way he approaches things is really refreshing. So I definitely try and sit down with him and have a chat. He's a really nice guy.
It's quite eye-opening what he comes up with, and you're just like, wow, just blown away. we're quite nervous about getting him on, because we just be like, oh, we just don't know what to say, because he'll blow our minds. So yeah, he will definitely be one to speak to when Budapest comes around. Yeah, definitely.
So for those who don't know you, your swimming roots come from a beautiful area in the UK. I know it quite well, which is North Wales. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce some of your old swimming clubs, because I will fail miserably at them. But if you want to pronounce them, go for it. But what was it like growing up and developing as a swimmer in North Wales? Because I know it can be quite a remote place.
I think my old coach, Bron Hill, did a really good job of, like, we'd go to meets, like, in Sheffield, and she'd make us travel. And even though we don't have a 50-metre pool near us, we'd go, like, on weekends on Saturday to, like, Manchester, Stockport, to go train in a 50-metre pool. She was really good with, like, trying new stuff. And as well, we had... I was part of the Swim World's, like, development, like, squad. So we'd go down, there'd be like squad days there as well. So Swim Wales are really good with like keeping us all in loop and like all together, sort of. So it was quite good, yeah. Because we'd all go training with like each other, I guess you'd say like the top in Wales in your age group. And you'd learn stuff from different coaches. It was really fun.
Yeah, that's down in Swansea, Cardiff sort of area. That's quite a journey from North Wales.
Yeah, my mum and dad used to drive me just for the day, and then we'd go back.
You'll have to help me with geography. So how far a drive is that in terms of hours?
To Swansea, it's about three and a half hours.
Oh, so it's not close. Yeah.
No.
And then going from North Wales to racing in Sheffield or Manchester or wherever you were, how long a drive is that?
Manchester would be about 2 hours maybe, and Sheffield would be like 4, maybe 3.
Yeah.
So your mum and dad have made full use of the cars that they've had.
Where I trained back at home as well, we trained at two pools, and it used to be between half an hour to 40 minutes. So they'd take me to and from twice a day, every day, nearly.
Yeah, I was reading you had to get up
age of 9 till 18.
Yeah, 70. I was reading you had to get up at 4:30 in the morning just to get to training kind of before school.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some logistical nightmares there.
Some commitment though, isn't it? To get up at that time to be in the water at whatever time it was, that takes a lot of commitment. We were speaking to Cara Hanlon, who has had that same sort of thing, didn't she? Where she had to drive 45 minutes to and from. I mean, the petrol prices nowadays, that must have cost half a fortune.
It teaches you to nap anywhere you can. So that's a good skill I've learned.
Skill go with you through life as well. obviously the reason you were doing all this was because during the age group ranks and juniors, you were national champion several times. And you represented Wales. You went to the Youth Commonwealth Games, I think, in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
So that's a very lovely nice holiday.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. And you were also selected to European Juniors in 2019. So you have a lot of pedigree going through the age groups. But much like our kind of conversation with Freya last week, how hard was it for you to make that transition from a very, very successful junior onto what is now the senior scene, especially with COVID being right in the middle of that transition period?
I'll be honest, I think it's made it a lot easier with like COVID, because it's like you've sort of been in like a bubble and you've just trained and there's not been many competitions as there was before. So I feel like it's sort of just like, at the moment, I don't feel it's that bad, I guess, until I get to Budapest, because it's like, I'm not so sure. I don't feel it.
Is it because you weren't racing? You didn't feel the pressure? You could just get on and swim your own self without having to worry about a transition of sorts?
Like a routine of sorts, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you move away from home at that time?
Yeah.
During COVID?
Yeah, I moved to Swansea like full time when I was 17, so I'd do my A levels on my online, so I would train here in lockdown. So I think that's what sort of helped, was because I was in an environment with like athletes like Dan and Alice and like senior athletes, which I'd never been in before. So I think that helped me a lot, because I moved from like my club where it was more people like kids my age or younger. So being in with them, I think that was the biggest change at the up till now, was transitioning from junior to senior training. Not so much the racing, because I'm not so sure. I feel like I like it more now, probably.
Is that because it's less schoolwork? And it's, yeah. I assume the uni work is a little bit harder, but it's not as much, like it's not an everyday sort of thing, am I right in saying that?
Yeah, definitely.
Does that make it easier?
And the training time, and the training times are a lot better as well.
So essentially it was easier for you because you went from what was quite a tough junior environment to train and focus on swimming to a very supportive kind of bubble in Swansea. Like you said, the swimmers that are there right now are what helped it.
Yeah, I think it was better with COVID because there was only small groups at a time, I had a chance to get to know all of like the other swimmers and my coaches properly. And then like when once more people started coming back, it felt like I was part of it, instead of just coming in and out like I would when I was in North Wales. I'd come to train here for like a few weekends at a time or something.
So you
get your feet under the desk, essentially, don't you?
Well, I found, because I was training in Cardiff when I was back swimming, and it was kind of very close knit down the south of Wales with the Cardiff and Swansea lot, where that's pretty much where Swimwell is, and everyone knows everyone. Everyone knows the gym, the nutritionist, and everyone else. And I think it's a good old system they have down there. What's it like at Swansea? What is the setup? Because the facilities are amazing.
Yeah. I feel like the centre's really upped its game this year, especially. And it's like, even though that's happened, everyone's still like really good friends. And like, it's just really fun because it's like a good environment to work hard and be like it feels like a professional athlete and work out like with the highest people that in the British squad, especially, and in the world.
Yeah,
you get to work with them, but also there's like a good team. Like everyone's just equal, and everyone works together, and everyone helps each other.
Yeah.
So I think it's really good. Yeah,
and you've got some pedigree there. In I think Georgia Davis used to train there before she went off with James Gibson. So does that fill you with confidence that really is the best place to improve your backstroke?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I have a lot of faith in my coach.
Was she coached by Adam?
No, she was coached by they were working like teams. So it was Stuart McNary and Adam Baker, and then you have Graham Entwistle as well. And then in lockdown, Graham Waddell was there from Cardiff. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good little setup down there because some of those coaches that you just named, they're all fantastic coaches, fantastic people, and they really do get the best out of people. They really do. It's just amazing. Yeah.
I know Dan is desperate to get Adam Baker on this podcast.
I think you should.
But I just want to know, because he's obviously dealing with Dan with the distance stuff. He's got you with the backstroke. He's now just got on to his world championship team or squad, if you like, as well, being a coach. I just think I'd love to pick his brain. I just want to know everything that he does. And obviously he helps you with your anxiety or the pressure that you put on yourself as well. I'd love to know everything about that. So, yeah.
Yeah. He's a good listener. He listens to what we have to say.
Yeah.
It's really good to have him as a coach. Yeah.
Definitely. Shall we touch upon then your standout swim of the year so far? Yeah. Because there's a very busy summer to come.
Yeah.
A breakthrough performance in February at Bucks is slightly unheard of. I'm going to say that. I don't usually associate Bucks with very fast times.
Fast times, yeah.
But she went a low 59 and broke Georgia Davis' record. Did that surprise you?
Yeah,
it did.
I did short course books in, I think it was December.
Hmm.
I went a big PB then. I went 57, so I was like, I was aiming for the 59, like really bad. I was really desperate for it, but I was really surprised with how low it was of the 59. Yeah.
Do you think it was a case of like it pressures off because it's books?
Yeah, I think I had so much fun there. Even though we were racing literally six races a day, I think I had in one day. But I think it's because I just had fun and like I felt like no one was expecting anything. I think that was the best thing for me, I guess. And I thought as well I hadn't tapered, so I was like, what's to lose sort of thing.
Yeah.
Bucks is so much fun. Yeah. I wish I could race there more. I wish it happened more and more throughout the season. Anyway, let's go back to that Welsh record, because it stood for, well, since 2018, I think it was, like 4 years ago. Has that ever been a target of yours?
No, not really.
Okay.
It's only sort of like since lockdown my times have been going like down. So I think it's all happened quite fast. So I've not really had like time to set on something that I really want to get. I always thought it would be nice, but I never really thought like, oh, I could get it.
Yeah. So when you are training and you say you're not setting times, what are you setting for yourself then as goals? Is it process driven?
Yeah. Well, at the moment we do have. So I have somewhat of like a time I want to hit, and but it's like on a sheet that we have for in training, and under that it has like all of our process goal rate and our race pace times for our sets and stuff.
So give me an example of a process goal that you're trying to hit every day in training right now.
I'm trying to work on my backstroke finishes, because if you look on the video in Bucks, it was kind of dodgy, I'd say.
That's an interesting one. Everyone talks about starts, underwaters, turns. No one really talks about finishes, do they?
Yeah. I worked really hard on my starts and my underwaters in what until now. So I'm trying to work on something different, I guess, alongside that as well.
What's interesting, because of course backstroke is a completely different kind of finish to all the other strokes, because you're on your back and you can't see, so you probably do have to put some energy and effort into training for that, because stroke count does apply and stuff like that. But it's very interesting. Has any of those processes changed since going that quick time at Bucks?
Probably my front end and my back end pace and my stroke rates, I think, have changed just a tiny bit.
Was that a target that you decided to change, or was that come from Adam to change it?
It's come from Adam. We looked at what my stroke rate was when I did do Bucks in that time.
Mm.
And we like tweaked it a bit, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My next question was going to be, does a time like that kind of adjust your process going through the season? But clearly it's been a confidence builder. And you and your coach have sat down and you've obviously taken some lessons away. Did it change your plan going into trials, knowing that you had already swam that fast? Did you kind of hold off on the taper a little bit because you knew what was coming in the summer?
No, I think we wanted to work out what was best for me, I guess. And then we did try tapering a bit. So I'm not, yeah.
I wonder if for champs, maybe you tried too hard. Like you say, with Bucks, you were more relaxed and there was no sort of pressure. And you say you put pressure on yourself. I just wonder if you were too tense and that's why the time didn't happen for you, even though sub 60, I think, is amazing.
Yeah. It's still good.
I definitely think that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's a really good learning curve for for future events coming up, you know, to just try and be as it's easier said than done, I know, but try and be as relaxed as possible to not hunch your shoulders, just try and relax before the race. Yeah. Again, this is where Tom Bates would come in beautifully, I think. So I think you're in for a treat, I think, when Worlds comes around.
Coach Dan over here. I was going to say, as well as Tom, I'm almost also getting kind of remnants of our first conversation with Abby Wood. So before ISL, she put a lot of pressure on herself. And suddenly, I know there's no ISL this year, unfortunately, but that one season where she was racing loads and got rid of any sort of preparation for a race, she wasn't allowed to mentally prepare because she jumped straight in.
Not allowed to think.
And suddenly that kind of almost broke the glass for her.
Yeah.
And I wonder if maybe more Bucks competitions is needed, whether more, I don't know, open meets where you enter like 10 events, like you said you did at Bucks. Maybe that sort of thing is going to work.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not so sure about after. I'm sure I slept for a few days after Bucks.
Well, that's a good thing about the summer, because you've got Europeans, hopefully, which you get to. You've got Commonwealth Games, which hopefully we should be on the Welsh team. You've got Worlds, of course. There's a few competitions where you can sort of trial and error these things and try and zen, I don't know, for a better word, you know.
Yeah.
So you've got plenty of opportunities to try and practice it. I think it's going to work. I think Adam will come up with a plan. You'll have a plan for yourself as well. I think it will work.
Yeah. I know that the meets that I go into, I will be, like, me and Adam have worked on stuff and I will be, like, ready for that meet. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Definitely. So one thing that we're slightly excited by, or everyone who watched Tokyo, is the mixed medley relay and kind of the future for that relay itself for British swimming. Now, you're obviously now the British champion in the 100 metres backstroke. Have you had any thoughts of that relay, being that GB's strongest lineup right now is a female backstroker to kick things off?
Obviously, I feel like everyone like remembers that, and obviously because I am a backstroker, I do think of it. But I know that Kathleen's on the team as well, and she's such an amazing swimmer. Like, I just, whatever happens, I'm happy with.
Is it a case of you're concentrating on your own racing and what happens?
Because
unlike the guys 4x2, where pretty much everyone is dying to be on that relay team, it's a bit more of a bonus to be part of that one.
Yeah, I just feel like if you would have told me a year ago that I'd be going to Worlds, I wouldn't have believed you at all. So I'm just happy and ready to race there on my events that I know I'm doing. And then whatever is extra, I'm not going to worry about them at all. And I'm just going to have fun.
That's fair enough.
Swim fast, hopefully.
Should we talk about another experience that's coming this summer then, which is Commonwealth Games? You say Swim Wales have ramped things up this year, which is obviously with one eye on the Commonwealth Games. What does it mean to represent Wales? Because both me and Dan are English. We don't quite appreciate it.
Without sounding too cringy, it does mean the world. Like, they've been so supportive since I was a junior swimmer, and the team that they create is so good, and like even the feeling you get to represent them is so amazing, because even though we're a small country, I feel like we have a lot to prove, and I think it would be good what we do there.
You've got a very good history in swimming, Wales.
And was it going to be like with it being effectively a home commies as well? You're going to have friends and family going to be watching you in Birmingham?
Hopefully, if I'm there.
Not selected yet, but I mean, I'd be very surprised to see a Welsh record holder not named in the team.
Yes. But you're excited for it anyway, if all goes well.
100%. It's been our target meet for over a year now, obviously, since the window opened to qualify for it. It's always been the target meet, especially in our in the centre as well.
Out of interest, does your swim at Bucks qualify you for that sort of major meet, or do you need to swim at a better meet?
For Wales, the window opened in the summer meet last year and closed at the Welsh Easters last week. So we've had that to qualify for it.
Okay, so they probably have their team already behind the scenes, but they just haven't released it just yet. Same with English, I suppose. Probably the same sort of thing. So, fingers crossed that you do get selected because I think it's going to be an amazing experience with a home crowd as well. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Mehdi, it's been really good getting to know you a little bit better. There's, I think, a really fun future ahead of you. And I'm really excited to see what happens this summer. If you don't mind, we usually finish with some quick fire questions.
Okay.
How does that sound to you?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
So what's your favourite event?
100 backstroke.
Who is your swimming idol?
Kaylee McEwen.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Dan rates her very highly.
Yeah, she's quite good, isn't she? Yeah.
What's your proudest moment in swimming so far?
Getting onto the world's team.
Yep. What's the hardest set you've ever done in training?
Well, it's probably our lactate set we did in Miami in February. I cried a few times.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Go on, and what was it?
It was our lactate tolerance set. I think it was 335s max, 250s max, and a 75 max twice through, like without any swim down or anything.
I used to hate those sessions so much. Yeah. And then I suppose the turnarounds were quite a lot, but you just had to sort of sit there and just with it pooling.
You just
in your
had to let it hurt you.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that. Yeah. See, you cried. I would have been sick, like without a shadow of a doubt.
One of the boys did go sick.
Yeah.
Nice. And our newest quickfire question: what is your pre-race song?
Higher by Sigma, probably.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Good one.
Like a bit of dance music here. And final question, if you were to go on a road trip, there are three spaces in the car. You can take friends, family, or celebrities if you want to. Who would you take with you?
Probably all the One Direction boys, if I can have five.
Right. That's a very cozy car for you.
I can't pick three.
Very nice. Well, Mehdi, thank you so much for coming on to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. Like we said, fantastic 2022 so far, and we cannot wait to see how you do this summer. Best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, best of luck. I think you're going to smash it, and hopefully you learn so much. Best of luck for not just Worlds, but the rest of summer as well.
Okay, thank you.
So that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. If you haven't subscribed already, please do so on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. And if you haven't left us a review yet on Apple Podcasts, if you are listening on that platform, we'd be really grateful if you can do so. But me and Dan will be back in 7 days' time.
Yes, thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.